my vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade, and I'm the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition Radio, I'll answer your nutrition questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. So this is a call-in show. Please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-337-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today we're talking about spices. Do you have tummy aches or low energy? Spices could help. We need to take a quick break, but stay with me, and I'll introduce our lovely guest when we return.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley, and I hope you listen to my brand new radio show, Get Active, at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday for ideas on how you can stay fit and active and connected to our community. Each week, we'll have a guest who knows in depth about some activity you may be interested in. We'll cover everything from working out, sports, sailing, skiing, to bridge, dancing, volunteering, you name it. Again, it's Get Active at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday, right here at Alternative Talk 1150.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm gonna keep well. My vegetables card off and sell. My vegetables are...
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and nutritionist for more than a decade. Today I'm excited to introduce the fabulous Siona San Martino, a whole food chef who specializes in cooking delicious and nourishing foods. You can learn more about her services and all of our services at Passionate Nutrition at PassionateNutrition.com. Welcome, Siona. It's so great to have you here.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
So it's weeks before Thanksgiving, and we're dedicating this entire show to spices. Many people don't realize, but herbs and spices often have more disease-fighting antioxidants than most fruits and vegetables. Siona is the master of spice, and I invited her on to share some of her favorite spices and dishes she puts them in. So, Siona, what would you say your favorite spice is?
Favorite is so hard to choose. I just love spices. But if I had to pick one, it would be ginger. And ginger and I, we go way back. We're totally joined at the hip.
Tell me why.
Okay, so this one's not only tasty, it has this beautiful lemony flavor, a little bit of pungency, but it also is super nutritious and has amazing health benefits. That's saved my butt.
So what are some of the health benefits that you've had with ginger?
Yeah, so ginger is touted for its amazing ability to help with motion sickness, nausea. It's anti-inflammatory in general, which can help with so many conditions today. But for me in particular, you know, those seaweed trips we do every year. Well, you know, mostly the water's pretty tepid. It is nice and placid, but a couple of times it's been a little choppy. And I have gotten a little motion sickness, and I have this secret stash of ginger that I keep in my pocket for emergencies.
You know what? I'm so surprised to hear you say that, because
I mean, you didn't know.
Well, one, I didn't know. And two, we've even had, I mean, we take people that don't know how to swim. We take 80-year-olds. I mean, that trip is so mild. I'm so surprised.
I know. And, you know, maybe I just have a sensitive stomach in general, but it saved me for sure. So I keep it in my pocket for those times.
I'm so glad to hear that. That it worked for you. Because I would be so sad if you weren't on the trips.
I know. Me too. You know, I've read that studies have shown that it's actually more effective than Dramamine, which, you know, is what everybody uses when they travel. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I love that stuff. Never leave home without it.
So what way could people have ginger, say, if they did have motion sickness or if they wanted to take it with them?
Yeah, in that case, you know, you're not going to be using the fresh herb. And I would buy crystallized ginger, which you can find in the bulk sections at one of your health food stores. And then you can just, it keeps for such a long time because the sugar really preserves it. Mm-hmm. So it's something that you can carry with you in your purse or if you're a guy in your pocket. Yeah, so I would say crystallized ginger is a really great source for those kind of instances.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, clients tend to love the crystallized ginger because it's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, I've had clients that have used that, especially, you know, if they have a little bit of a tummy ache after they've gone out to eat someplace, you know, maybe their stomach is just a little unsettled, you know, to have some of that crystallized ginger in the afternoon.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. It can just really quiet and settle the stomach down. It's awesome. It's amazing stuff.
You know, yesterday I had a client that came in and I just took a look at her and I said, "You're not feeling well, are you?" Because, I mean, her eyes just looked like she was going to come down with something.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I recommended was that she went to the grocery store, got a huge, you know, a whole handful of ginger, chopped it into kind of quarter inch slices.
Yeah.
And then boil it in a pot. And I said, okay, after it's been boiling about 30 minutes, go ahead and start drinking it, but really let it boil about 3 hours. Because, you know, the longer it boils, the more potent it gets.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, it's going to burn like fire going down. We want it to be more like acetone, but it'll kick that cold right out of you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I recently gave it to one of my family members, and they were having a little bit of indigestion, and it totally burned going down. They wanted to shoot me, but it worked.
I know. It's one of those things like, okay, we're the food people.
Right.
We love to have food that tastes good.
Yeah.
And then there's some times where we use food more in a medicinal way, like where it's not going to taste good going down, but it definitely does the job.
It works. Yep, yeah, exactly. And, you know, ginger is awesome because there's so many ways you can incorporate it into food. And so one of my favorite recipes is ginger and lime marinated salmon. And I use this with clients all the time and they love it. So what we do is we take a little bit of the zest of the lime juice, some sherry wine, ginger and garlic, and it is this flavorful, awesome, delicious, can't tell I like it, huh? Dish that people just love. And so it's super easy to incorporate into cooking as well. And I like to use the fresh root mostly because it just has so much flavor and it has that wonderful juice. It's really versatile.
That's great. Oh, that salmon sounds so good. It's making me hungry. Oh,
I'm sorry.
You know, and I found that too. Like, it's really the dried ginger just doesn't have the flavor. It doesn't have the potency.
Yeah, I found that as well.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that people often ask is, do you need to peel the ginger?
Yeah, this is such a good question. And the truth is, you really don't have to peel it. If you wanted to peel it, I don't recommend using a regular vegetable peeler because you lose so much of the ginger and a lot of the awesome nutrients are right behind the skin. So if you really wanted to peel it, you could use a spoon and just use the back of the spoon, but it's not necessary. And I really feel like what I've noticed for a lot of my clients in classes is that the less they have to do, the better.
Yes, definitely.
The more steps, the less likely they're going to do
it. We are so busy. We need practical, simple, easy to do.
Exactly. And it's got to taste good.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I like to use my microplaner a lot, like when I do ginger.
Yeah.
So I'll, you know, take the ginger and grate it on the microplaner and then put it in my hands and then just squeeze it to get the ginger juice.
That's such a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I love about that is one of my family members loves ginger ale and, you know, soda, a lot of other ingredients in there. So I make this homemade ginger ale.
And, oh, this sounds good.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I do is I grate the ginger with a microplane. And then I gather it up, I squeeze out the juice, and I mix it with a little bit of water and honey and just a dash of lemon. And I put mineral water over it. Mm-hmm. So super natural. You're going to get those therapeutic benefits. And it's going to satisfy your sweet tooth, too, because we have a little honey in there. So,
oh, that's great. And yeah, that would be wonderful for kids.
It is, definitely.
And especially if you use some raw local honey, you know, that could be a great thing to help with allergies that people may have.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I love that. I love raw honey, for sure.
Well, that's excellent. So it's time to take a quick break and stay tuned. When we return, we'll talk more about how to boost food's flavor and your health and metabolism with herbal and spice infusions. And please feel free to call with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-337-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Siona San Martino, one of our amazing whole food chefs, and we're talking all about spices and health. And I need to make a correction. I've been giving you our call-in number, and it's our first day on the air. So actually, the call-in number is 425-373-5527. So please call in. We'd love to hear from you. So, Siona, can you tell us what are some of the spices that you love that just really pack a huge punch? Like any spices that you definitely want to highlight?
Sure. There's so many that we can think of. One of them that I really love is cayenne, and a little goes a long way. So it's really economical in that way.
Yeah.
But cayenne is awesome because it can really boost the metabolism. Mm-hmm. And when earlier we were talking about how sometimes, you know, well, we always want it to taste good, but sometimes we have these remedies that are a little crazy and funny, but they totally work. Well, I have this awesome remedy with cayenne that is for sore throat season.
Excellent. I want to hear it.
Okay. So what it is you take either fresh lemon juice or raw apple cider vinegar, And you mix it with some sea salt and you put cayenne in there and you gargle with it.
Wait, this sounds really scary.
It's really scary. It knocks your socks off. So my best friend who was visiting, you know, you travel and your throat gets a little scratchy. And I was like, I have the perfect remedy for you. And I concocted this little mixture and she wanted to kill me. But the next day she was like hugging me and thanking me. So, yeah, I mean, cayenne is super strong. It's pungent. A little goes a long way, but it really is therapeutic for the throat. It's fabulous.
You know, and I liked what you said about metabolism, too, because I would say a huge percentage of the clients that we see are coming in because they want to lose weight.
Right. Yeah.
And so something natural like that, that can help boost the immune system, have so many positive benefits, and it helps with metabolism.
Right. Exactly.
That's great.
Totally.
You know, another thing that I really love about cayenne is that it also can help with hydrochloric acid production.
Ah, yes. We want that.
We definitely do, because a huge percentage of the people that we see are actually underproducing hydrochloric acid.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things that we live in a really stressful culture. You know, there's so many things that decrease our hydrochloric acid production, which I should say what that is. Hydrochloric acid is what our stomach produces. And this is what helps us to be able to digest the food that we eat. So we could be having the absolute best diet on the planet. We could be eating whole foods for 20 years, and I'll see clients that come in with deficiency signs. And one of the things that can contribute to this is that they're not digesting the food that they're eating. Like, they could be spending a lot of money, a lot of time on preparation, but they're not breaking it down effectively.
Yeah.
So down the road, we'll definitely have a radio show that talks specifically about digestion.
Awesome.
But I love that cayenne is one of those things that can help.
That's great.
Especially adding it to foods that can be a little bit harder for people to digest.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of foods to add it to, I add it to almost everything.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. So you can add it on top of your eggs in the morning. You can put it in stir fries. You can put it in soups and stews. A little goes a long way.
Do you know that what is it, sriracha rooster sauce? What is it called?
Oh, the sriracha?
Sriracha.
Sriracha.
Does that have cayenne in it?
I don't know. That's a good question. My husband loves that. I should know that answer.
You know, that's one of those things that I love to use. Like, if we make a soup that, you know, say it's a chicken soup with vegetables and we've had days and days of it and we're like, oh, I never want to see that soup ever again.
Yeah.
I love to use the rooster sauce, the sriracha. And it does. It gives it kind of a kick. And I bet, you know, even if it's not cayenne, I mean, peppers in general have those qualities.
Totally. They do.
That could be a great way to spice up some leftovers.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really great for improving circulation, too. So in the colder months, you know, if you're one of those people who gets those cold hands, cold feet, this is the one.
That's great. Yeah. That's an excellent excellent suggestion.
Yeah. Another one that I really love, and this because it's near and dear to my heart, is fennel. And fennel is awesome because it's really great for indigestion. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather loved black licorice. So fennel, basically what it is, it's that like anise-like flavor. People either love it or hate it, but it's a lot more subtle than black licorice. And so my grandpa from Italy, right, he'd come home and he'd bring me these delicious candies that were black licorice. And I would love them. I, like, look forward to going to his house just for that.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And, you know, my grandpa's not with me today. So every time I use fennel in the kitchen, it's totally a way of honoring him and remembering him. And it's just awesome. I carry a piece of him with me all the time.
That's so sweet. And I love that. It reminds you of your grandpa.
Yeah.
And there's so many great benefits from it.
Definitely.
And isn't it? It's fennel that gets coated that a lot of times if we go to Indian restaurants, what we have when we're leaving.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. And it's because it's really great for digestion. It also sweetens the breath.
The breath.
Yeah, it sweetens the breath. So instead of chewing gum, you leave chewing on some fennel seeds. It's totally stylish.
You know, that would be great because so many of the chewing gums that are out there, they're just loaded with lots of artificial sweeteners.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it's hard to find ones that aren't.
It is.
So to have a natural alternative like that is fabulous. So I just want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show, and really, we would love to answer your questions. We'd love to hear from you. So our call-in number is 425, making sure I have the right one, 425-373-5527. Okay, what's another one, Siona?
Okay, another one is turmeric.
Turmeric.
Turmeric is the golden spice that you find in curry powders. Powders? Yes, my New York accent is slipping out.
Wait, actually, can we hold on on the turmeric? Because I see that we have callers.
Lovely.
And we would love to get to them.
We'd love to.
Okay, we've got John on the line joining us from Seattle.
John, thank you so much for calling. You're
welcome.
Our first caller.
Yay.
I'm honored. Well, I'm happy to do it, and I love your show.
Thanks.
So I heard you talking about spices. This is going to be the first Thanksgiving dinner that I've ever prepared. And to practice, I made my family a dinner, or attempted to do so, about a week ago. And I thought I'd really knock it out of the park and buy fresh spices instead of those, you know, lines of bottled spices that you see in the grocery store.
Yeah.
So I went shopping on a Monday, and by the time I went to go prepare the meal on the weekend, they were all kind of rotten and dark and wilted. And I'm just kind of going, so I have two questions. My first is, you know, what's the difference between those bottled sort of, that look just like the dried stuff, I mean, look like spices and that look just fine. So what's the difference between a bottled spice and a fresh spice? And second of all, if you endorse fresh spices, which I'm guessing you will, how do you keep those fresh a long time? How do you preserve those so that you can use those for longer than just the 3 days before they wilt like a little flour?
John, this is such an awesome question. I get this all the time from clients, and I'm so happy you brought it up. So the difference between fresh and dry, there's a couple of differences. So one is that the dry have a longer shelf life, as you've witnessed. So as long as you keep them in a cool, dry, dark place, you're going to have them for a couple of months. Whereas the fresh, they usually have a shelf life of about 7 days if you properly store them. They can sometimes last up to 2 weeks if you're storing them correctly, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the other difference is a lot of fresh spices we love because they're so vibrant with their flavors. So they're really fresh and bright, and you typically add them at the end of cooking. So, for example, fresh basil, fresh Italian parsley, these herbs are so fragile. There are essential oils in them. They would cook out and essentially dissipate if you cooked with them. So one of the differences is that you typically add fresh herbs at the end of cooking time. Whereas if I bought dried basil, for example, that's something you could cook with. So if I'm making a stew, you know, I can add that dried basil in there and it could withstand the heat. So that's one of the biggest differences that I think of. And then the other is, as you said, storage. So a couple of tips and tricks is that, you know, if you think about what a plants need for life, they need soil, sunlight, and water, right?
Yeah.
So, they no longer have the soil. They no longer have the sun. But we can treat them like flowers and give them a little water. And this can really perk them up. So I like to take the ends of my cilantro, my parsley, and my basil, and I snip them off. And then I put it in a cup of purified water. And not for the basil, but for the parsley and the cilantro, I rinse it off and then I let it air dry. And then this, from here on, you're going to let it dry. You're going to put a plastic bag, usually the one you bought it with at the store, you're going to put that over the top and store it in the fridge. And this is going to ensure that you don't have any, like, slimy, yucky cilantro sitting in the back of your fridge.
You know, I had an amazing situation with that. I had cilantro that I had in the storage. Like,
yeah, in the bouquet.
About, in the bouquet with the bag over it. And I went out of town, and I came back 3 weeks later, and it was okay. I was shocked.
That's amazing. The longest I've seen it in my own house has been 2 weeks. But it really does. It's amazing. So you just got to treat it like flowers. And then the other fresh herbs, you know, the ones that come in those little sachet packets, so the sage, the thyme, the oregano, those, they're really fragile to really cold, extreme temperatures. So what I do is I store them in the door of my refrigerator where the temperature is a little bit cooler. And this helps to really boost the shelf life as well.
Well, I appreciate that. I guess just to be clear, say I take the turkey out of the oven and I have all these great spices and I've cooked the turkey with dried spices and I want all those essential oils and wonderful things to go into the food that I'm making. Do I literally just place the spices on top of the turkey after it comes out, or do I stick it back in for a while? And how long do I wait before I carve the turkey?
Yeah, so this is a really great question. And what I would say regard to the spices is the woodier the stem. So let's take thyme. Let's take rosemary. Those can handle a little bit of heat. So I would actually take those and mix them with a little bit of butter, a little bit of olive oil, garlic, put it under the skin of the turkey while it's cooking. So you can use some of the fresh herbs that have a woodier stem. Whereas if I wanted to top it at last minute with a little refreshing parsley, for example, yeah, you're right. You would just take it out and you would garnish your dish with it. So you can do it both ways. And let's say that you use a little bit of dried thyme in your recipe. You can definitely top it at the end as well.
Very good. Well, I'm going to be I'm going to look like a veteran with your help. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks for calling in. It's great to have you.
You bet. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks, John. All right. So tell us some more spices, Sienna.
Okay. So let's see. Where was I at? I think I was on
turmeric.
Turmeric, right?
Let's get back to turmeric.
Okay, turmeric. So turmeric is one of my favorites. And I know, Jennifer, you've traveled a lot to India, right?
Right.
They're all about the turmeric.
It's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's anti-inflammatory. And it's this beautiful spice that lends its golden color to just about everything it touches. So considering the fact that we eat with our eyes and our food needs to really stimulate that, it needs to be pretty as well as taste good, this is one of my favorite herbs for this. So, for example, let's take quinoa. Mm-hmm. So quinoa is, you know, it has a white color, it's a whole grain, it has a high protein profile, and it's one that I really love to encourage for clients. And we can make it look really pretty and stunning on our plates if we put about a quarter teaspoon of turmeric in there with about a cup of our quinoa. And it comes out and it's just all golden and pretty and it just really stands off the plate. And I don't know, I just get really excited about it.
Well, and that's great because a lot of times grains are just kind of boring. They're brown, you know, they don't have much pizzazz on the plate unless there's a sauce or something that goes over it.
Exactly.
So I really like the idea of adding turmeric to it. It just gives it more interest.
It does. And I want to tell you a story with this one, too. So I had a client recently, and she was having some joint pain. Mm-hmm. So I, for myself, I like to use turmeric in hot water. I just put a sprinkle of turmeric in it, and it's just really anti-inflammatory. It's fabulous. In the colder months, it warms you up. And so I had recommended to her, oh, why don't you try adding a little bit of ground turmeric and some hot water in the mornings and just do that every day and kind of see how it works. And she told me that she's feeling some relief with her joint pain.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that awesome? I get so excited.
And I love that it's food and it's something you can find in your cupboards or in your pantry. And
it's
easy. Helps. Food is medicine.
Food is absolutely medicine. And we see it all the time with our clients. It's so awesome.
We do. And I'm excited to say we have another caller.
Yay.
Emily, thank you for calling.
Welcome.
Hi. I was wondering if there's really any difference between organic and conventional herbs.
That's a great question. So there's definitely a difference. In general, organic are going to be free of pesticides, fungicides, herbicides when we're thinking about plants. So they're going to have less of these compounds and be easier for our bodies to handle, easier on our livers. However, you know, the idea of organic and conventional is such a big topic, and it's really hard to just give a yes or no. It's going to depend, you know, whether or not we recommend organic or conventional. It's going to depend on that individual client, where they're at in their healing process, what we're working on with them. And sometimes for people, whether it's their budget or just what's easier for them, we really may not recommend organic herbs. So it's going to depend.
Yeah, thank you, Sienna. And it is, it's so true because, I mean, in an ideal world, if we had an unlimited grocery budget, we would say, let's get everything organic. That would be
ideal.
Yeah, that would be ideal, but it's also not practical. I mean,
exactly.
We work so much with families with children, you know, where they're trying to stretch every dollar. So if we're looking for the biggest bang for our buck, you know, really the herbs and spices wouldn't be the place to put your hard-earned dollars.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And you know, when I do my food shopping tours, we talk about this all the time. So we go down the aisles and everyone's always asking this question with organic versus conventional. And when we get into the vegetable section, that is the question. And I'm like, you know, yeah, we can think about organic and that would be ideal. But really, I want you to focus on the meats and the dairy, because those are really where we can impact not only our bodies, but the environment big time. So I love this.
Absolutely. And in fact, actually, the last client that I was seeing today before we came to the studio, it was a client that has cancer. And what I was talking about with him was that really the place to focus is going to be on the meat and the dairy. You know, just like what Sienna is saying, because what we're talking about is bioaccumulation. If you have a 1,000-plus-pound cow, think of all the pesticides, all the hormones, everything that goes in to make that large of an animal. So if you compare cow, like beef, dairy, to herbs and spices, you know, definitely thinking about those animal products went out. And in fact, there was a study that was done, it was in Israel, and Israel used to have breast cancer rates that were much higher than ours. And they started to do, you know, just a lot of research, like looking into what could be contributing to this. You know, they looked at environment, food, there's all these components. Now, there's certain pesticides that are particularly linked in with cancer. It's not woo. You know, there's actually a lot of research behind this.
Yeah, definitely.
And so what they found is that if people focus on two things organic, meat and dairy, it cut down their exposure to these pesticides by about 80%.
Yes, that's awesome. That's huge.
Yeah, so Emily, thank you so much for your question and really focus on those animal products.
Thank you, Emily.
All right, thank you.
Great, so we were talking about turmeric. And, you know, one of the things about that is that so many clients will take turmeric in a capsule.
Yes, I know.
And it's so well-intended. And, I mean, of course, if their doctor or their naturopath or someone recommended that, definitely keep doing it.
Sure, of course.
But what we're talking about is really adding it to food, making your food taste good by adding these nutrients in there.
Yeah, and just making it easy, getting it in there every day. It's so economical. I mean, think about how much you'd spend on a bottle of turmeric pills, you know?
Right.
And I really think, too, it's so much easier. And I know, Jennifer, that you are a big proponent of this. And this is one of our core philosophies at Passionate Nutrition, that, you know, food is amazing because it has synergy. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a concentration. You know, those pills for the turmeric is usually just curcumin, which is the compound in the turmeric that's touted for its abilities. But really, this herb is so much more than that. And so it's the synergy of how those nutrients are working together. And it's also, you know, we're not bombarding our bodies with any large dose at any one time with food. Food's super safe in that way.
I love
Don't
that
you agree?
About food.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes I just think about what we do, how safe it actually is. Like someone comes in with so many conditions, and at first I start to get really nervous. You know,
yeah.
Like all of the things that they're dealing with. And then I say to myself, wow, we're the food people. Unless we're eating polar bear liver.
Right, exactly.
Which polar bear liver, if you eat too much, you could die.
Just... Yeah, vitamin A.
But if you're not doing that, I mean, really, food is such a safe thing. You know, and the benefits, the side effects are almost all positive.
It is, and it's gentle. And, you know, I think our bodies were just really intended for that gentle process when it comes to healing. And it's just really important to honor that, you know, honor what our bodies are wanting.
Right. Great. We have another caller. Chris, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Chris.
Good. How are you?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking about that turmeric and you brought it up. And I've been taking it myself. And after about a month of taking it, my sinuses always gave me problems and it cleared right up since I've been taking it.
That's great.
Wow.
I put it on my food and I give it to, also give it to my cat.
Yeah, the furry works, little creatures.
Yeah, it works good for animals too. You can put it in their food.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just funny. I was thinking about it and you just started talking about it and it does. It works really good.
Can you tell us how you use it in your food?
Well, I'll put it like on rice.
Yeah.
And or I'll put it like in soup.
Yeah, I love it in soup. It's a great idea.
And then for my cat, you know, I just put it right in her cat food. And just small amount, you know, powder, like powder form. So.
Yeah, definitely.
But if anybody ever wants to use it, it does work. So.
Yay, success.
I know. And so your cat didn't turn its nose up to the turmeric?
No, I mean, I don't put that much in it. I mix it into the food, like, really good. So, no, she likes it, so
that's
doesn't bother
great.
Her.
I think my cats need to take some lessons for yours. I can even give my cats fresh salmon, and they turn their nose up at it.
Wow, really?
She's a kitten still, so, you know.
Oh, you're training her.
Yeah, it's good you're starting young.
Starting them young.
But yeah, it works good for me. I mean, it's an anti-inflammatory, so it's cleared my sinuses right up.
That's fabulous. It sounds like you've had some really great success with it, and that's so nice of you to call in and to share that.
Yeah, well, it was the first time I ever tried anything like that, you know, and I was just really surprised, but I thought I'd call and let you guys know that.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's always really great to hear from, you know, what people's experiences are. I think that's where the power is, you know.
Well, thank you, and good luck on your show.
Thanks,
you. Chris.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Sienna, so I know that you have more spices up your sleeve.
I do.
So we- Okay, so what's the next one?
Okay.
Break it down.
Okay, I'll totally break it down. I just want to say one last thing about turmeric is that it's a little bitter, so be careful when you're adding it to your food. You know, like a quarter teaspoon per cup of grain or even a quarter to half a teaspoon at most in recipes. I just want to warn you because I don't want your dish to get ruined.
You know, actually, it's so good you said that because, you know, I can tend to have an extreme personality, as you know.
Yeah, totally.
And so I thought, okay, turmeric is so good for us. Let's add a lot.
Right, exactly.
And I've completely ruined many dishes.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, more is not better always. Okay, so let's break it down. Cinnamon.
Yes.
Love cinnamon. And it's one that people are familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's common in desserts. It has that warming, sweet flavor. So it pairs really well with chocolate, I just have to say, because, you know, dark chocolate's one of my favorite foods.
Well, I think anything with chocolate.
Right, anything with chocolate. Yeah, but the cinnamon just really pops those flavors in the chocolate, which is amazing. And it's so easy, cinnamon, because I also like to add it to teas. I sprinkle it on top of yogurt. I toast nuts with it. It's fabulous. It's so tasty.
You know, I'm so glad you brought up cinnamon because it is one of those that people are familiar with. And it's such an antioxidant powerhouse.
It is.
You know, we tend to think of things that are more pricey. Like, for example, we'll think of getting pomegranate juice or blueberries. And actually, if you have a teaspoon of cinnamon, the antioxidant level, it's actually more antioxidants than what we find in a full cup of pomegranate juice or half a cup of blueberries.
Amazing.
And it's just, you know, it's in our cupboard.
It is. And it's really economical. I mean, you think about, especially when berries are out of season, how expensive they can be. And, you know, you can go to the bulk section and get some cinnamon, and it's just amazing. And in general, I would say that going to the bulk section of your natural food store is a really great option for people.
You know, I was teaching, actually, it was a class for prostate cancer clients just on Tuesday. And,
yes.
You know, with that, there were we were using a lot of herbs and spices. And I remember pulling out the receipt to show them how much I had spent on that class.
Yep.
And, for example, I would pull something out. I'm trying to remember what it was. It may have been curry. I said, okay, this was 16 cents. I mean, how many things can we buy that are 16 cents
exactly.
at the store?
And, you know, it's so important to point out because you can buy the spices in the jars and they're $2, $3, $4, or $5 depending on what you're buying. And you can really, you can just buy what you need in bulk, which is going to also preserve the flavor because if you buy too much, spices don't actually have that long of a shelf life. So they're going to be fresher longer if you just buy what you need. And it's, like you said, 16 cents. Who can beat that?
Yeah. And so, Sienna, how long would you say, what is the shelf life on spices?
So I would say this really shocks people. Okay, pantry makeovers, right?
Yeah, you do a lot of those.
So clients typically, they don't want to admit it, but their spices have been hanging around for like 2 years in their cupboards. You know, and I always ask that question, how long have these been in there? And they like, 2 years, 1 year. And yeah, so dried spices that are already ground, they have a shelf life of about 3 to 4 months.
Wow, that's it?
It is. And it's not that you can't use them when they go longer and past that. It's just that those essential oils, they're just not as potent. So you're really not going to get as much of that benefit from flavor and even the, you know, the nutrients from that spice. Now, you can look at not just ground spices, but whole spices. And whole spices are going to last a little longer because they basically have all of those essential oils locked up. You know, if you think of a seed, all those nutrients are locked up in there. And then when you're going to use it, you grind into it and you release them. So, you know, that's going to preserve the shelf life too, make it go longer. Does that make sense?
That's great. Now, the thing is, how do you grind them?
Oh, I love this. Okay, so traditionally, you can use a pestle and mortar, but my favorite
option. That takes way too much time.
Oh, my God. The first time I did that, I couldn't even get them fine enough. So what I love is you buy a coffee grinder and you designate it for spices only. No coffee is allowed in there whatsoever. And what you do is you just add them when you need them and you grind on demand.
That sounds really good.
And isn't that a good idea?
And how do you clean the coffee grinder?
Cleaning the coffee grinder is so easy. You can take rice, you can take breadcrumbs, you could take salt. And you literally just put it in, stir it around, and it's going to absorb all of those essential oils, so those aromas and the flavors, and it's going to remove them.
Wonderful. Well, we need to take a quick break, but stay tuned to find out what adding more specific spices to your diet can do for your health and your waistline, and we're going to answer Catherine's question when we come back.
Cinnamon girl, I can be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376. Wisdom Within is a new talk radio show featuring psychic medium and healer Lindsay Paul and animal intuitive and healer Shauna Fisher. From your lunch break to vacation, from your car to your kitchen, from despair to newfound awareness. Join this enthusiastic duo as they fearlessly tap into the depths of wisdom and help you soar to new heights by answering your ultimate questions. Get your weekly dose of spirituality with a kick of reality rolled into 1 hour. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Get out of your head and tune into your soul.
Who is Chopra?
What is Chopra?
When is Chopra?
Joe Janeau is the host of a brand new show called Chopra. Joe has been nicknamed Chopra by his friends and colleagues who find his advice and insight to be enlightening, just like a certain other talk show host of world renown. Born and raised in Seattle, independent-minded Joe Janeau is bringing issues to the airwaves that make you ponder, laugh, and deliberate. The Chopra Show is about the ins and outs of food and drink, relationships, entertainment, and so much more. Get to know Chopra every Thursday at 2, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Alternative Talk 1150. Got it? Cool.
I can be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl. A dreamer of pictures, I run in the night. You see us together.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Siona Sammartino, one of our amazing whole food chefs, and Siona is sharing her top spices for cooking and health. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions anytime throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you. So it looks like we had a call from Catherine.
Yes.
And she had the question about purslane, omega-3s in purslane, and how to use purslane in food.
Exactly. So purslane definitely has omega-3s. There are a lot of vegetarian sources of those omega-3s. And the only thing with that is that they're not as bioavailable as omega-3s that are unified in cold water fatty fish. So they have them, and they definitely have a health benefit. But they're not going to be as much. They're not going to get converted to the more bioavailable type that we're looking for when we think of inflammation. And then really the way I use purslane is just raw. It has a really nice flavor that goes into salads that I just love to add like that.
Great. And you know, Siona, I was just thinking about it. A lot of our listeners may not know what purslane is. Can you share?
That's true. So it's a fresh herb, and it's actually one that you could wild forage, which is super fun. I know that's one of your passions, Jennifer.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's just a fresh herb, and you could get it different times of year. You can get it at the farmer's markets. You can get it, in the vegetables aisle of your grocery store, and it's another herb.
And I love that it's fairly easy to identify with wild foraging because it's in the succulent family, it has such a distinct look to it.
That's right. It does. So it's kind of like a little puffy and it's a little leathery looking and it's got these juices inside.
Right. Yeah. And it adds a nice texture, I think, into food.
That's true. It adds a nice crunch.
And Siona's absolutely right, when it comes to thinking about how bioavailable it is. So what we're looking for, to get those health benefits, like if we're thinking about reducing inflammation, if we're thinking about
depression.
Yeah. Brain health. Our brain is 65% fat. And half of that is the EPA and the DHA that's in things like fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful that Catherine is thinking about getting those omega-3s. And it's been estimated that even in the healthiest of people, when we have a vegetarian source like that, it's about 10% of it actually gets converted to the EPA and DHA mm-hmm. that's usable by the body. So it's a little bit of a bummer. But
it is a bummer.
But we have a lot of great sources for those omega-3s. And really, it doesn't hurt to add that in. I mean, we're still going to get some of the omega-3s in purslane.
Exactly. It's mm-hmm. true. And it's tasty and it's fun and it's different. So
exactly.
Yeah, I encourage you to try it out and, yeah, have fun with it.
Great. So, Siona, do you have another spice you'd like to share?
Sure. And I want to say something else about cinnamon before
yes.
we move on. Okay.
So cinnamon is worthy of an encore.
Cinnamon. Okay, so cinnamon is anti-inflammatory, and it may be able to help with regulating blood sugar.
Mm.
And I'm not going to say who it was, but I have a family member, and they have really sensitive blood sugar. And they usually can't have, like, breakfast in the morning that contains fruit and sugars and whole grains. And so I was visiting them, and I was making breakfast for us. And I was just making, like, steel-cut oats with fresh berries and some pecans and super simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And put cinnamon in it. I cooked it with cinnamon and a little sea salt. And then when I was done, I was topping it with more cinnamon because I was all about cinnamon. I was like, yeah, this person needs this. And accidentally, the top came off and the dust cloud of cinnamon was like everywhere.
Had that happen?
Oh, my God. I don't know. But so anyway, I apologized, but they still ate it. And they were able to eat the food. And it was amazing because they normally can't eat those foods without it affecting their blood sugar. And they checked their blood sugar, and they had this amazing reaction where they were fine, and they couldn't believe it. And I was like, "Yeah, cinnamon!
Wow,
yeah."
You know, and when people are checking their blood sugar, that's such a wonderful time to really get an idea of how the food is actually affecting them. So you had, you know, that great feedback right in the moment of
exactly.
how the food you made affected them.
Exactly. Their body was giving them signs that it was working for them.
You know, and it's interesting, too, to think about that a lot of the dishes that cinnamon naturally comes in are going to tend to be on the sweeter side.
Exactly.
You know, even though it's not always the case. I mean,
right.
cinnamon and lamb stew. Or actually, I've been adding cinnamon to chili.
Yum. Yeah. You know, I do. I find that a little bit, because cinnamon has that sweet flavor, it pairs really well in savory dishes. So mm-hmm. sometimes when we think about spices, we want to really play up one flavor. So we want to play up smokiness, or we want to play up sweet. And other times we really want to balance flavors. So we're like, huh, I need something a little more pungent, a little more sweet, and a little more earthy. And you bring them together. And so I love that. I love that you've been adding it to your lamb stew and your chili. Yes,
yeah.
That sounds delicious. I bet that's really good.
It is really good. And it just seems like it's this nature's wisdom that cinnamon can help with blood sugar. And it goes well with all of these savory and sweet dishes.
I love that. That's so true.
Great. So I'm sure you have another spice.
I do. Okay. So another spice that we can talk about is basil.
Yes.
Okay, so basil, I'm Italian. I'm passionate, right? I'm an Italian girl at heart. And so I just swoon over basil. I put it in everything. I put it in my antipasta, and I top, you know, my stir fries. I top soups with it. I just love it. It's so refreshing. It has this citrusy flavor. And it is more, I think of it more as like a spring summertime herb because it kind of feels cooling to my body and refreshing in that way. But I just love this. And something that I think is really amazing about the nutrition of basil is in Ayurvedic medicine, so the medicine they use in India, they tout basil as the garden of youth.
Ooh. I love that.
Who doesn't want more of that, right? Yeah, so it basically helps with free radicals in our body. And free mm-hmm. radicals are these little creatures roaming around that wreak havoc. And they definitely are a part of the aging process, which we definitely can't reverse, you know, but they use it for slowing down. It's the fountain of youth.
Well, you know, you've taken my backyard basil and just put a whole new
spin on it. Totally.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And I mean, to give some props to Ayurveda. I mean, Ayurveda is the oldest form of medicine in the world.
It is.
I mean, Chinese medicine is very
yes,
close.
Yes, it's right there with it.
And the great thing about Ayurveda is it's all about food.
Right. And digestion. Digestion yes. is at the core and foundation of health and illness. They start there first.
Yeah. I think the more and more we keep talking, digestion class needs to happen.
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Pronto.
Yeah. And so what are some ways that you like to add basil? I know, like, I just love chopping it on the cutting board, and it just makes the whole house smell delicious.
It makes the whole house smell so good. And one of my favorite recipes that I put it in, we made it on the seaweed trip,
mm-hmm.
and it was when we had the food critic. And so you know that this recipe is good.
I know.
Because I wouldn't have been making it if I didn't think it was the bomb. So it's this rainbow chard and arame salad. And arame is a type of seaweed, which, you know, again, you know, we collect here in the summertime. And I put tons of fresh basil and fresh parsley. And we put apples and raisins. So delicious. And then we make this creamy balsamic vinaigrette. And it's to die for.
But it's that pop, so good.
Yeah, that pop of freshness and bright flavor mm-hmm. really, really rounds out kind of the earthiness of those greens and the seaweed. And you can't even tell seaweed's in the dish. It's amazing.
Right. We wouldn't have a food critic coming if it
That's
did.
That's right. I know. Exactly.
And you know what I like about that dish that you make is it's so beautiful.
Thank you. It is really beautiful.
I mean, and that's true. I don't know if that's I mean, you just have such an eye for the aesthetics in food.
Oh, thank you.
Like, your food, it tastes absolutely amazing and delicious, but it's also so beautiful at the same time. And like you were saying earlier, I mean, we eat with our eyes first.
We do, and thank you so much. That's really sweet. Yeah, I put a lot of intention into that. For one, I think it's just because I love cooking and it's my passion, but I really want to put products out in front of my clients that they're going to love and enjoy. That's what this is about, you know? It's like, it's not just about the health and the nutrition. It's really about that enjoyment piece.
Exactly, because, I mean, food has to taste good.
It has to.
What good is health food if we don't want to eat it?
Exactly, and it shouldn't taste healthy. It's like, how long are you going to do that and eat that food if you're not liking it?
Well,
like once?
I know, it's so true. And if somebody were to say to me, wow, this tastes really healthy, that is the biggest insult.
It is the biggest insult. Healthy or earthy? I don't want to hear that.
No. That's a really bad sign.
It's a really bad sign, yeah. Yeah, so it shouldn't taste healthy. And I think that that's one of the big benefits with spices is that it really jazzes up cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So I get clients all the time. They're just burnt out. They're making the same dish over and over again. And they're like, what do I do? Help. And, you know, I just want it to be really simple. And we work to boost that flavor profile. We work with spices. And I love to do a lot of classes just with, like, intuitive cooking. And how do you smell? How do you know how much to use? You know, it's like, I want it to be really intuitive for people. I want it to be fun. I want it to be relaxing. And it's just a big way to jazz up cooking.
And, you know, you've done a great job of working with a lot of our clients that have multiple food sensitivities
where,
you know, they're really, they're burnt out, like you're saying. Yeah. Like, they're so tired of the foods that they're having and they're so limited. And going out to eat can be tough. Finding recipes that fit is tough. So even taking out, you know, even adding in their, you know, new spices to jazz up what they've been having, it seems like it's really helped.
It has. And it's super simple. And I just, you know, I really feel for our clients and they're already dealing with so much. You know, illness is such a big thing to deal with. And so any way that we can make their healing process more enjoyable and just help them out, we're all about it.
Well, and the nice thing is that when we have these clients, you know, that have dealt with so many struggles, I mean, the skills that they're learning, it's something they can use throughout their life. You know, it's not that, you know, when their gut has been healed and they no longer have these food sensitivities, that they're all of a sudden going to quit cooking in this
way. Yeah, we do. We change their lives and we make it a way of life. And that's the biggest thing. We're not about diets and we're not about fads. It's just about food.
And we're not about pills.
And we're not about pills. It's real food.
Yeah, if you come to our office, actually any of our offices. Oh, and by the way, we have a new office as of this morning.
We do.
In Ballard Crown
Yay.
Hill. Yay, Ballard.
Awesome.
But if you come to our office, there's not a single pill to be sold. You know,
yep,
what we're doing
it.
Is we're talking about what are you buying at the grocery store?
Yep. And we have people every step of the way to help. So, you know, maybe our nutritionists are working with them and recommending certain foods, but then we take them out.
Great. So next week, we're talking about grateful eating, which is perfect for Thanksgiving time. Stay tuned. There's a lot of surprises.
And thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sienna.